verse, I have many of them, but one of them is found in the book of Acts, okay, 4:13, where the people looked at Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, okay? But they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And I want you to know here today that I've been with Jesus. Somebody put on Facebook the other day, who's the most famous person you met? I wrote that, Jesus. Because he met me right where I was at in October 1978 in Bryan, Texas, at a revival. And man, I was sitting on the back row grabbing those pews and knowing, you know, I knew there was a God and I knew I wasn't right and I knew I was going to hell. I mean, I knew all of that. I wasn't a fool. I told the young people today, you know, you go to school and it seems they educate you into being a fool. You know, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I was telling the young people, I've been in the bush of Africa for many, many years. I have never met an atheist in the bush, ever. When I would ask them who God was, they would point to the heavens and look at the moon and the stars, and they would say, Balesa created that. I said, who told you that? You've never been to school. You can't read. You've never seen a Bible. Who told you that? And the old man said, you must be very stupid missionary. Just hear the voice of creation. Psalm 19 says what? The heavens declare the glory of God. Verse 3 says there's not a language on this earth where that voice is not heard. Never met an atheist in the bush. It's amazing. I just thank God for, since 1988, I took my wife and four little girls, 14, 12, 6, and 4, to Zambia, Africa. And then, of course, the book here says, from the diamond to the bush, the diamond, the ball diamond. I was a baseball player. You might ask this morning, how in the world does a baseball player end up in Africa? Did you go over there to teach them about baseball? They don't know what baseball is. First few men I led to the Lord as we were sitting around a campfire, and one of them said, what did you do, brother, before you became a missionary? I said, I was a baseball player, and they scratched their head and talked a little while, and one of them said, what's that? And I said, well, it's like cricket. I didn't know what else, but they didn't know what cricket was either. But anyway, the only thing they knew me for was I brought them this. Because you see, as I would go into the bush, they don't teach you that in Bible school. They don't teach you about really walking into places that have never heard this. Now, there are people in our land, probably in your city, that haven't heard the name of Jesus. Did you know that? Now, there are probably few, but there's a few. I know in Kansas City, we have sports ministries within our church there, and the little kids will come and we'll talk about Jesus. They go, "What? I've never heard that name before. Never heard that name before. Never heard the story of Jesus." So it can happen here in the United States. Amen. You don't have to go, 10,000 miles away into the bush of Africa to find someone that doesn't know the Lord. A few years ago, I begged God, in spite of my health and everything that was happening to me, I begged him. I said, Lord, please, let me go to another place. I said, I've been to Africa, I've been in villages, but Lord, would you let me go? And then all of a sudden my phone rang and somebody said, hey, you want to go to Nepal with me? And I said, sure. So we took off for Kathmandu and got to Nepal and we visited the underground churches. See, it's illegal to be a Christian over there. You put in prison. And I remember going up in the mountains of the Himalayas and I remember these two married couples had been married for a long time and they couldn't read and they had never heard, but they believed that there was a God. And so we were able to introduce all four of them to the Lord Jesus Christ and they got saved, and I thank God for that. I thank God. I'm surprised I'm still here. I really am. I told the young people I had 19 bouts of malaria, had cerebral malaria twice that's 95% fatal. Blackwater fever that's 99% fatal if you get it. I lived through it. I've had COVID twice this year. It's 99.4% that you're going to live, so I guess I'm in that area. Amen. Now I have, I think, a little bit of immunity. Of course, I don't want to tempt the Lord. I thank God for my wife. She's the one that brought me to Jesus. It's all her fault. Amen. My wife said I was delirious one night, one of my bouts, and I was just holding my hands up in my bed, and she was rubbing me down with ice, trying to get my temperature below 107, and so she was doing this, and I was delirious, and I was praying, Lord, just take me home. Lord, just take me home. And Becky said she put her hand over my mouth and said, Lord, don't listen to him. He's delirious. So I thank God I have a wife that loves me so much. My high school sweetheart, Miss Becky, and we have five children, son and four daughters. And God has been so gracious. Now I have 14 grandkids and two great-grandkids. And man, I wish I'd have had them first. Amen. But anyway, you have a Bible, open it anywhere. It's all good. But we're going to be in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11 today. Someone told me a long time ago that every man is my teacher. You can learn what to do, you can learn what not to do. Just filter it through this. Because the Word of God is the truth. This world will tell you stuff. Your flesh doesn't want to read this thing, and the old devil, sure, of course, he knows what it says, but he still can twist it and turn it. So again, we got to be in here. We got to filter everything through the Word of God. And so someone told me a long time ago that God must do a work in you before he can effectually do a work through you. When I got saved in October 1978, I never got over it. I was your basic boogerhead. I didn't go to church, okay? I believed there was a God, but I didn't know what a Baptist was, Catholic, Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, you know, Episcopalian. I didn't know. I just thought they were all the same. I really did. I was just that ignorant when it came to religiosity or whatever, doctrine or whatever the case may be. But something happened to me that morning. When I realized I was a sinner before a holy God and that I was on my way to hell. And then all of a sudden he said, but you don't have to go there. Jesus Christ died for you. I went, there's no way he could die for me. I'm rotten through and through. And then, of course, that old preacher opened up and said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I went, that's me. And I went forward and fell on my face and cried out to Jesus to save my soul. Now, I didn't know what an Old Testament was, a New Testament was. I couldn't quote a verse of Scripture to you. But when I got up off my face, something was different. The guilt was gone. And the peace flooded my soul. And not only that, but I couldn't keep quiet about it. I had to tell somebody. You know, when I first got saved again, I didn't have really anybody to disciple me. And so, you know, I'm listening to all kinds, trying to grab Christian music. And, you know, I don't want to offend anybody here. I have a tendency to do that, my wife says. And my wife said, you know, you'll never be a pastor. And I said, why? She said, you got no mercy. My favorite expression to my daughters was, rub some dirt on it. Just rub some dirt on it. So a while back, they all made me a shirt, said, rub some dirt on it. Amen. So anyway, I'm thinking, I'll help you up, but hey, let's get back in the game. It ain't over until he says it's over. And he calls me home. So I've got to go. I've got to do what he called me to do. And what's he called me to do from the time I got saved? I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. So I told all my friends about Jesus. Man, they thought I was a nut. And then, of course, I went to spring training with the Orioles that next year and carried my New Testament in my back pocket and started talking to all of the ball players and my manager, Earl Weaver, who would say, I'd rather see you walk with the bases loaded than walk with God. And then my manager, Joe Altobelli, called me in the office one day and said, Bobby, you're taking this Jesus thing too far. I said, really? I didn't think I could take it far enough. Amen. And he said, well, no, you don't know. Look, he lives in the church. I said, Joe, you don't know your Bible. I said, I am the church. Right. Jesus lives in me. And he goes wherever I go. And then, of course, I'm so thankful for my father-in-law who just gave me a copy of God's Word. And just like I said earlier, filter everything. Whatever's being said, filter it through here. This is the Word. Believe the Word. Believe the Word. You see, when you reject truth, you believe a lie. That's what it says in Romans 1. You see, when I went to Africa, I had a concordance and a Bible. I didn't go over there to make an American out of them. I went in there to make them followers of Christ. So I would say, this is God's book. God's book says this about witchcraft. God's book says this about adultery. God's book says this about walking with Him. God's book says this about this. Hey, it's just God's Word. Let's trust God's Word and what it says. Young people, trust the Word of God. Hide it in your heart that you won't sin against God. Now, we're going to be in Hebrews 11, and I hope you're there. But before we read the passage and before I pray, I want to remind us of five verses. You can write them down. I'm not going to quote them. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Mark 16, verse 15. Luke 24, verses 45 through 47. John 15, verse 16. And Acts 1, verse number 8. Now, all those verses are talking about go. Five times in less than 40 days before Jesus ascended in that cloud to the right hand of God, He told the church to go. It's not an option. It's a command. We are to go. 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 Just go. Tell your neighbors. Tell your kids. What did I do? I told my dad about Jesus right when I got saved. Boy, he didn't receive that very well. Told my mom. She didn't receive it. Told my brothers. They're all lost. You know, family. Friends. But I just had to tell somebody because he said to go. I just want to obey what God says for me to do. Now, over the years, my dad got saved, my mom got saved, my brothers got saved, my family got saved, my grandchildren got saved. Why? Because somebody went. Because how are they going to hear? Unless someone tells them. How's your family going to hear? Unless you tell them about Christ. How are your grandchildren going to hear? I told the pastor, I'm taking all my grandsons hunting this fall. For those of you that are not hunters, I apologize. I'm a carnivore, okay? I don't just kill to kill. I kill to eat. Okay, I like to eat. But I want to talk about how we are to engage in God's plan, okay? To engage in going. To engage in going. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 with me. Look at verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful for today. Lord, I pray the music, the singing, the hearts in here have just been a praise to you, our God, our King. God, speak to us. Encourage us. Lord, rebuke us if we need it. Reprove us, correct us. But Lord, we're open to what you would have. God, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying unto the church today. We need it more than ever. So God bless this time, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice here that as I gave you those verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, that is the mission. We are to go. But people ask me all the time, how do you know where God wants you? Good question, right? I'm sure there's some young people going, I wonder where God wants. I want to serve God, but where does he want me to be? Well, I want you to notice Abraham. Great faith chapter, isn't it? The father of faith. Way back Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was imputed. God's righteousness was imputed to him because what? He believed what God said by faith. Wow. The father of faith here in Hebrews chapter number 11. Notice what it says there. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let me tell you something. If you're saved today, God has called you. If you are saved, God has called you. Okay? Romans chapter 1, Paul's writing there and he says, listen, you are called to be what? An apostle. What's an apostle? A sent one. Okay? You're called by God's grace. You're saved. You're saved. You're born again. And God has called every person that is saved, that is born again, that proclaims to know Christ as Savior. God wants us to go. Now, where? Well, how do we do it? Well, we live in the land of promise. You know what the land of promise is? I got to live here. If I live in the promises of the world, in the promises of my flesh, trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh, it's going to all fall apart. But if I can live my life in the promises of His book, claiming the promises, walking in the promises, walking in the light as He is in the light, the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, guess what? It doesn't matter if I'm in a tent. It doesn't matter if I'm in the bush of Africa. It doesn't matter if I'm in a five-star hotel. It doesn't matter if I'm in a mansion or a shack or whatever, because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Woo! Don't you understand that? I'm already over on the other side. I'm just waiting on my brand new body. I'm seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places today. If God told me to go back, I'd go back. I know. But God, I'm very stubborn. Any stubborn people in here? God brought me through 19 bouts of malaria, blackwater fever, 4 heart attacks, 11 stents, open heart surgery, valve replacement to finally get my attention. What do you want, God? Well, I've sent you to train the national and turn it over to them. Why are you still hanging on to something that's not even yours to begin with? It's mine. You see, the work is His. You don't work for God. You want to do a work of God. And God's work is for us to go and tell others. We need to be involved in that. We need to engage in God's plan. So how do you get there? How do you get there? Go back to the beginning of the chapter. What does it say about verse 6? It says, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Impossible. Romans 10 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Look at Hebrews 11. Look what it says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, here we go. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. You want to know where God wants you to be? Get in the Word. Live the Word. Walk in the Word. My Word is a lamp unto my feet, again, a light unto my path. Are you born again? Guess what? The Bible says you are born again, not of corruptible seed, as it says over there in Peter. It says, but of incorruptible. How? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth. When that preacher gave the gospel that Jesus Christ died for my sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, and in 3 days rose again from the dead. According to the Scriptures, the power of God came down, and boy, I got saved. When I heard that, when I believed that, when I trusted that, woo, God rocked my world that day. Like I said, I didn't know I was going to Africa when I got saved. So I went to the Baltimore Orioles. I went to the minor leaguers. I remember driving in a limo from Pennsylvania back to Baltimore in 1983. You know, in 1982, Weaver moved Ripken to short. Those of you that know Cal Ripken. So I was a shortstop before him. So I had to sit on the bench. I'm not a home run hitter. So Cal was playing. So I decided to stay up in Baltimore the winter of the 82 season, okay, going into the 83 season. So 82 fall, I lived in Baltimore with my wife. Well, people would call the Orioles all the time in the off season and say, we'd like a guest speaker at our function, and we would like Jim Palmer. You know, Jim Palmer, Hall of Fame pitcher, right? You know. Well, Jim demands $10,000. Ooh. How about Eddie Murray? He's a Hall of Famer, by the way, too. I got a chance to play with 3 Hall of Famers on the same team. Well, he wants $5,000 an hour. Well, you got anybody that'll do it a little cheaper? They say, well, Bobby Bonner will do it for $200. We'll take Bobby. So every night of the week, I was at some Little League function or some function, you know, and representing Oriole Magic. Well, Cal Ripken Sr. and I went to Pennsylvania at this huge Little League banquet. And on the way, a blizzard hit. Whiteout conditions. So they still had the banquet, but on the way back, it was worse. I mean, we're driving like 10 miles an hour. You could see nothing. And we're in this limo, right? You know, we're in the back, and I'm with Rip Sr., and he's sitting there like this because, anyway, he desired a little drink. And I looked at Skip, and I'm thinking, wow, where's he going to go? You know, I've got about 2.5-3 hours just to... So I kind of turned to him, and I said, Skip, I used to be like you. What do you mean like me? I go, you know, we stopped twice, but, you know, there's no alcohol. And he goes, what do you know about her? I said, I was a bartender for 4 years in college. I said, I didn't get saved till I was 22, Skip. I said, you want something to drink real bad? He just sat there. 2.5 hours, brother. I got my New Testament out. I preached to that man. Didn't say a word until I got back. We flew to spring training a couple days later, and then I got called into the office. You're taking this Jesus thing too far. I said, let me ask you something. Do I work out hard? Do I play hard? We know you work out hard, but when you come into the dugout or the clubhouse when it's all over, you just don't fit in. And I just thought, hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know. Now, again, it's just God working all of these things, but it was the Word of God. You know, I wasn't able to go to church. You know, I had a couple churches I was going to, but it was just the Word. I just began to memorize the Word. I'm born again by the Word. What God's Word says, it's very, very important. We have to be in the Word. From a child, it says over there in 2 Timothy 3:15, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You've known it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we got to engage in His Word. Right? That's His plan. His plan is for you and I to be in His Word. Then we got to engage in God's person. Look at Hebrews 11 and look at verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So what? He offered a sacrifice. He gave a gift. So you see, it's got to start with the Word, right? And then from the Word, it's got to go into worship. Now you say, how did you get worship out of that? Glad you asked. First time the word worship appears in Genesis chapter 22, if you want to write that down. First time the word love is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 22. It's the story of when God spoke to Abraham and said, take your son whom thou lovest, first time, and go up on top of that mountain and worship me. Verse 5, 22:5, first time the word worship appears. So let me get this right in my mind. First time the word worship appears, first time the word love appears, is Abraham's going to give what he loves to God in worship. See, worship is more than a song. Worship is giving to God what you love. 1983, won the World Series. I was on that team. I had a broken hand, got hit with a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. I sat on the bench, but I was on the team. They measured me for a ring. At the end of the season, after we won, we beat the Phillies, I was on the DL with my hand, and so I wouldn't go. I didn't go to the playoff. They chose somebody else, took them instead of me. But they measured me. They told me I would get. Well, the team voted and gave me a $100 share of the World Series money, which I think the share in those days was, I don't know, $20,000, $30,000 a player. Well, at least I got $100, amen. But they didn't give me a ring, even though they put my name on it. Orioles never bought it. They wouldn't give it to me. So I called them up and I asked to be traded. I asked for my release. They wouldn't trade me. They wouldn't release me. I went to my back bedroom. I was so angry. My Bible was sitting there opened to John chapter 21. You ever read John chapter 21? When Jesus had already appeared for the third time after the resurrection and Peter was there fishing. And Jesus showed up on the shore and Peter doesn't recognize who Jesus is. After the resurrection, it doesn't take too long for you and I to step outside the place where we don't recognize God working in our lives. That's how the world works. That's how our flesh works. It grabs us. You got to stay in the book. You got to search your heart to see what it is that I love more than Him. Because love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. Okay? And so they wouldn't trade me, they wouldn't release me, so I slammed the phone down and God broke my heart through the word once again. God said, Bobby, baseball's a God in your life. Walk away. Lay it on the altar. Okay, I'll do it. I made a vow to the Lord, second vow I ever made in my life. First one was to my wife 47 years ago. Second one, Lord, I'll walk away from baseball in 1 year. I still have 1 year left on my contract. I want to fulfill that contract. So, Lord, let me play one more year, and I'll walk away a free agent. And, Lord, be careful, young people. Be careful what you say. God may take you up on it. I said, Lord, I'll even go to Africa. I had no desire to go there. Hello. Played that last year, great year. Five major clubs offered me contracts. I walked away when I was 28 years of age. Started working in our church, at First Bible Baptist Church, Rochester, New York at the time. Working in our Christian school, taught for 4 years, went to Bible school at night. And then a guy, crazy guy. Anybody ever heard of Tommy Tillman? He came to our church and showed his slides of the leper colonies that he worked in the Philippines. So during that invitation, God reminded me of what I said. So I went forward and surrendered my life to go to Zambia, Africa. I didn't know an African. The only thing I knew is David Livingstone died in Zambia. So I said, I'll go where David Livingstone went. I just went. I didn't have a burden for those people. I didn't know those people. Hello? I hear missionaries say sometimes, well, I really got a burden. I really got a burden for these people. I said, you ever been there? No. I said, I have a burden for them then. Paul had a burden for Israel. A burden doesn't constitute a call. You know what constitutes a call? Your love for God. To say, I obey you and I'll go. Now, it may not be Africa. It may be across the street. It may be here in Indiana. Some Hoosiers still need to be saved. Amen? Okay. Again, God's person. Worship. We engage in God's plan. We engage in God's person. You know, Jesus never refused worship, gang. Okay? Why? He's God. Look at verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. The Bible says over in Genesis 5, Enoch did what? He walked with God. Are you seeing the outline? It starts with the Word. Then we can worship God in spirit and in truth in John chapter 4. Then we can walk with God. What does it mean to walk with God? Just go in the same direction He's going. Whatever God is doing, whatever God has called you to do, step in and just do it. When I walked away from baseball, I got the bus ministry. I did, you know, Sunday school and visitation and street preaching and whatever the pastor wanted. I just wanted to wanted to walk with him. I wanted to talk with him. I wanted to get to know Jesus. So again, we got to engage in God's purpose. Obedience to the plan. Obedience to the person. You know, over in the Old Testament, it says to obey is better than sacrifice. And then look what it says. It says about Noah, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. There's the work. Now think about this, gang. Think about it. Never rained on the earth. There wasn't any need for a boat. You know, I mean, you know, he said maybe cross a stream or whatever if they had one. But think about that. God shows up, tells Noah to be a boat builder. Of course, those of you who've been visit the ark down in Kentucky, can you imagine? I mean, it's almost like me being a ball player. I know how to turn a double play, and I go into Africa, and nobody knows baseball. And so God had to what? Give me the resources I needed to get the job done. Because it's His work, not mine. It's His work, not mine. I was sharing with a pastor. Someone asked me yesterday, why did you choose Zambia? I said, David Livingston. So you talk about not doing your homework. I don't recommend this way. I recommend prior proper planning prevents poor performance, okay? That's what I recommend, prior proper planning. There was no prior and proper in planning in this. I just told God, I'm going because I love you, and I'm going. So we got our passports, we got everything. We put everything on a container, shipped it over, got a work permit for 3 months, show up in Zambia, Africa, in the capital city, go to the immigration, say, here we are. We're here to work for God. The guy goes, who invited you? Well, God. Well, that's not how it works in our country. He said, you have to have 10 Zambians sign their names inviting you to come in to work with them. Do you know 10 Zambians? I said, what's your name? He laughed like you did. He said, that's not how it works here. He said, even if you knew 10 Zambians, we are giving out no new work permits. So you'll have to go in another in under someone who's already established. So he gave us a list of all these people. For the next 2 to 3 weeks, we go to every place. No, sorry, we don't know you. No, sorry, we don't know you. No, we got all no's. We're sitting at the hotel, and we get a telex from Tanzania. Our container has arrived. And we need to hire a truck to go pick up a container to bring it into a country that won't let us work. Hello, are you with me? You get the scenario. So we out of the Yellow Pages, we pick out a trucking company. We go down, we take a cab down. We go back to the accountant, talking to him. He said, well, welcome to my country. I said, your country won't let us in the country. He goes, give me your paperwork. I said, who are you? He said, well, my name is T.J. Kaunda. Name didn't ring a bell. I said, okay. He said, my father is the president of Zambia. Dictator for 26 years. That was his youngest son, T.J. We gave him our paperwork. He took it to his father at the state house the next day. Day after that, immigration called us. We went. He said, you now have your work permit. It's all filled out for you. Here it is. There wasn't 10 names on it. There was one name on it, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, first president of the Republic of Zambia. 2 weeks later, we're given 350 acres with 30 buildings on the site for free, an old abandoned mission station. Next thing I knew, a millionaire from the States just happened to say, hey, I want to help you. So he sent a builder over, paid for the builder, all the supplies, sent over 12 40-foot containers full of supplies and rebuilt the mission station and built our homes at the mission. And I look at that and I go, I didn't have two pennies to rub together, brother. I didn't know anybody except the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I wanted to go. I wanted to go. And you know what? When you're in the Word, okay, and you're worshiping Him in spirit and truth, and you're walking with Him, and He gives you something to do, He'll supply the resources needed to get the job done, and then all of a sudden you'll be living in the land of promise, and you'll go wherever He says to go, because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he lived in the land of promise. Let me ask you, where are you living today? Where are you living? I hope you're living in here. I hope you'll engage in God's plan. I hope you will engage in God's person, to worship the Lord, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and might. I hope that you'll engage in God's purpose. What's His purpose? To walk. I hope you have seen in your life God's provision. And then I hope that you have engaged in God's place. See, all this is going to be burnt up, even though you got a beautiful facility. Woo! But one day, moth, rust, corruption is not going to enter where we're going. And I'm going to get a brand new body. And I'm going to see Him face to face. I look through a glass darkly. I see images. I see Him through the Scripture, the revelation of God. But I am to respond to the revelation. Will you respond today? And say, I'll go. I'll go to my neighborhood. I'll go to my business. I'll go to my town. I'll go to Africa. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Stay in the Word. Search your heart. What are you worshiping? Walk with Him. He'll give you something to do right where you're at. And then when He sees you faithful in that, you can go anywhere, for God so loved the world. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for this time. Father, I pray right now in the quietness of this moment, Lord, search our hearts. Lord, we may be at different levels here. We may have engaged in Your plan. Lord, we love Your Word. But Lord, are we really listening to it? Are we really hearing it to the point that we're walking.